Really run. It feels like it's been a month since our last morning run. I do a quick calculation and realize it's been that long since destiny blew into our lives. Time has passed in an enjoyable blur of activities and accomplishments and unstoppable heat. I swore I wasn't going to stay at her place last Sunday night after we got back from Piper's, and one way or another we've ended up hanging out together in the evenings and have woken tangled up in each other every morning for the past week. That's the spell my new sassy friend and enticing lover casts on me, with her tangential talks and guileless smiles. When I'm with her, time ceases to exist. She's seeped into my world like water, filling every crevice, bringing something into my life that I didn't even know I was missing, like sunshine to a freaking flower. Getting Molly out of Destiny's bed this morning was not an easy task. I swear Clementine gave me the stink eye for taking his bestie away when he'd been cozily curled up beside her. I glance at Molly running begrudgingly beside me as we turn into the park. While I'm trying to figure out how this thing with Destiny has progressed so fast, Molly's probably wondering why she's missing out on her morning snuggles. Destiny has been working like a fiend, making calls, collecting estimates for Arjun's proposal, and setting up meetings with potential clients, while still working part-time at Perfect Paws and walking Molly in the afternoons. I don't know how she keeps it all straight and manages to maintain a positive attitude. That's why I offered to cook her dinner Monday night when she texted to tell me she spoke to Bridget and set up a meeting with her. She brought work with her to my place, and after dinner we went over the budget she's putting together and discussed ideas for the new inquiries she'd gotten. One thing led to another, and we ended up talking until almost midnight. There was no sense in her leaving that late. She joined me and Molly for an evening walk Tuesday, and we watched The Office, playing the one more episode game until after 11, when one kiss led to another, and a wild night of passion ensued. That's how naturally it happened, every single night. Last night she showed up to surprise me with a peach pie she'd baked and vanilla ice cream. I forewent the pie, preferring Destiny a la mode instead. Sweetest dessert ever. I woke up this morning sprawled over her like the octopus she claims I am. I didn't want to get out of bed, and it had nothing to do with the fact that my semester has ended and I didn't need to be at work, and everything to do with the sleeping beauty I had trapped beneath me. That's why I gave Destiny a kiss goodbye, told her to sleep in since she didn't have to go into Perfect Paws today, and got my ass out of there to try to clear those all-too-comfortable thoughts from my head. I haven't spent an evening alone for weeks, and I love my alone time. How could I let it slip away? Maybe that's what I need, a night alone to get my head on straight. Yes. That's exactly what I need. I look down at Molly. Tonight, it's just you and me, girl. I swear she gives me the side eye. As we come over the crest of the hill, the oak tree where my unlikely friendship with Destiny began comes into focus. And just like that, I wish she were by my side, chatting up a storm. Hey, Fletcher! I turn at the sound of Marshall's voice and see him running up the path behind me. Hey, Marsh, how's it going? I should be asking you that. Where have you been? I haven't seen you running lately, and you blew off basketball this weekend. I've been busy. Suddenly, I understand Jimmy a little better. Not that I'm in love with Destiny, but given the option of playing basketball with the guys or a sexy morning with her, the guys will lose every time. Therein lies the problem. I thought school was done for the summer. It is. My workload is lighter over the summer, and my days start later, since I'm only teaching two classes, but there are still meetings to attend and students to meet with. I've been hanging out with Destiny. Late nights, early mornings, you know how that goes. Dude, that's great. You must really be into her to spend that much time together. She's fun to be with, but don't make a thing out of it. Are you kidding me? Why not? I give him a look that should shut that down, but Marshall's not one to be silenced. I think she's great. Did she tell you she dropped off a basket at Annie's Hope for the reception area? It was loaded with cookies and books on recovery and pocket-sized cards with positive affirmations on them. She also wrote me the sweetest note about how she thinks about my little girl often and wishes me well and all that. She didn't mention it, but I'm not surprised. She didn't tell me when she gave Chuck cookies to thank him or that she put together a thank you basket for Dr. Wilkinson and his staff. The only reason I know about that basket is because I saw it on her counter when I was at her place. She's not looking for a pat on the back. She's just incredibly thoughtful. That boundless heart of hers is just one of the things about her that makes it so hard for me to keep my distance.
You mean Wilkinson the vet?
Yeah, Molly, ate some clothing and we ended up there 2 weekends ago. Marshall chuckles.
What kind of clothing?
I don't answer, but there's no stopping my grin as memories of that night come rushing back.
Damn, Fletch, you're a lucky bastard. I'm glad you found each other. You deserve to be with a special person.
Reality wipes the grin off my face, and I know I have to come clean to Marshall. He's a good friend, and I trust him not to rat me out to my brothers. Don't get too excited. This thing between me and Destiny has an expiration date. The words cut like glass.
A what?
You know, like a coupon that's only good for a certain amount of time.
Fuck. Now I'm using her analogies. Are you seriously comparing your relationship to a coupon? What the hell, man?
As we run down a hill past the kiddie play area, I remind him of how she and I met and tell him the truth about our relationship. She was determined to pay me back for my help with her business, and I was sick of my family giving me a hard time about dating again, so I asked her to go to the wedding with me. One thing led to another, and I guess we've evolved from fake dating to friends with benefits. That doesn't sound right either. She's more than a friend. Hell, I don't know what to call us, but after the wedding, we're done.
Then I'd call you a fucking idiot if you're willing to let her go.
I just told you it's not real, I bite out. I really like her, but you know I'm not looking to walk down any aisles. I like my life the way it is. It's comfortable.
I think you mean safe, he says as we pass the basketball courts.
He's not wrong. The last thing I want is to get in too deep and go through another painful breakup, which is exactly why I needed to get out and clear my head.
You're spending a lot of time together. Don't you feel a connection to her?
Molly veers into the grass and I stop to let her pee. I didn't expect to, but I do.
It's no wonder you're confused. It sounds like you're in a situationship.
What is that?
It means you have a deeper connection than friends with benefits, but you're not in a full-on relationship. I'm sure it's confusing, but I'd do anything to be in your shoes even for a little while. After I lost Annie, I didn't think I'd ever want to be in another relationship, but it's been years. And lately, I've been missing that special connection, you know? That feeling that when you see your person, even the bad shit doesn't seem so bad. I miss how rejuvenating it was.
Like sunshine to a fucking flower, I grumble.
Exactly, he says,
and we start walking again. Whatever, man. The bottom line is, I'm not sold on love being the end-all, and Destiny is all about finding true love and marrying Mr. Wright.
She's all about love, and she's cool with this being temporary. She doesn't think you could be the right guy for her?
No way. The truth stings, and I have to work too fucking hard to shove it down deep. She has a checklist 2 pages long of things she's looking for in a man, and I'm not anywhere close to being that guy.
Damn. Delaney and her girlfriends think you're a catch.
Delaney is Marshall's sister.
What's Destiny looking for? A billionaire? A prince?
I don't think she cares about any of that, but I only saw part of her list, so your guess is as good as mine. From what I saw, she wants someone like her dad. A guy who's rough around the edges and can fix anything, who puts love above all else. She's got stars in her eyes and a hungry heart.
Marshall scoffs. I think you're a great guy, but if that's what she's looking for, what's she doing hanging out with you? You can barely change a light bulb. You've got cynicism in your eyes. And then there's that stone-cold heart of yours.
Dick. I shove him off the path.
All right, maybe not stone-cold, but you definitely keep your heart on lockdown and don't even try to deny it.
I don't say shit, but the truth is, she's already chipped away at those walls quite a bit.
I, on the other hand, Marshall says with a smirk, take pride in being rough around the edges, and not only can I fix just about anything, but I was also a firefighter. I made it all the way to a hotshot crew out west. I shoot him a narrow-eyed stare. What's your point? I'm just saying, when that expiration date hits, I'll be there waiting to rescue her loving heart and fill the shoes that are too uncomfortable for you to walk in. Asshole. Later that evening, after my class prep and errands are done and I'm driving home, I'm still thinking about the things Marshall said about having a connection with Destiny. I downplayed our connection with him, but I'm not a fool. I know what I'm feeling for Destiny is bigger than anything I've felt in years, maybe even ever. It's hard to remember what I felt at the beginning with Elena, but I know I never felt the same visceral desire to be with her that I do with Destiny. There isn't just something about Destiny that draws me in and makes me want to be closer to her. It's everything about her, from the way she wrinkles her nose when she thinks I don't get her jokes or won't agree with what she says to the way she finds love in everything. Gripping the steering wheel tighter, I try to remember any of those nuances about Elena, but I was too young and too focused on school to notice the smaller things, or bigger things, like what I wanted in a relationship and a partner. If I had only taken the time to think it through, I could have saved us both the heartache of a failed marriage. I know she felt horrible about her infidelity, but she wasn't a bad person. She just made bad choices. We both did. It took me a long time to get past the hurt and allow myself to see my own failings, but I always try to learn from hindsight, and my biggest takeaway from that time in my life is that Elena trusted me when she fell in love with me, which was well before we got married. She trusted that I'd watch out for her emotional and physical well-being, as partners should. I was at fault for not giving that trust the attention it deserved. I'm not talking about praise or time spent together. I'm talking about putting my contentment in the relationship aside and taking the time to really think about her needs before we got married, to figure out if I would be able to be the man she needed in the long run. I've tried over the years to write that off by blaming my age at the time, but I'm too smart for that. I fucked up all those years ago, and I'll never make that mistake again. As I turn off the main drag, Destiny's smiling eyes appear in my mind, and my chest constricts. I saw enough of her checklist to know I'm not the forever guy she's looking for. I can tell myself I'm the guy she needs, but that's not fair to her, and I'm not even sure it's true, because want and need are tangled together like Twizzlers. My thoughts reaffirm my need to take a break from seeing her tonight. When she texted pictures of her walk with Molly earlier and asked what I was doing this evening, I told her I was lying low to prepare for my classes. She asked if I wanted company, and I responded honestly, saying I wanted company but needed to focus and it would be better if I was alone. I fucking hated shutting her down like that, and I loathed it even more when she responded with a sad face emoji and immediately followed it with good luck prepping, blowing a kiss emoji. I pull into my driveway and have to pry my knuckles from the steering wheel. I reach for my laptop and see the gift bag with the shirt I bought for Destiny this morning to replace the one Molly ate, and a smaller bag with the gift card to a lingerie shop to replace her bra. Yeah. We need a break, but that doesn't mean I have to be an asshole and let her go without the things my dog ruined. As I head up to the front door, I stop cold at the sight of planters hanging over the porch railing on either side of the steps. One is overflowing with yellow and purple flowers, the other with pink and purple flowers, and hell if they don't make the house look more inviting. Fucking Destiny. An incredulous laugh falls from my lips as I step onto the porch and see they're hanging from hooks, but there's a 3-inch hole in the ceiling. I shake my head and turn to go inside, nearly tripping over a rock with a pink envelope tucked beneath it. I move the rock to the side and pick up the card on my way inside. Molly ambushes me. Hey, girl, I missed you. After giving her lots of love, I let Molly out back, and as I set my things on the table, I notice one of the chairs is pulled out, and there's a faint stain in the middle of the cushion. Molly. I look outside and see her rolling in the grass. I head into the kitchen and grab a beer from the fridge, then open Destiny's card, hearing each word in her sweet southern drawl. Fletch. Molly said you sometimes forget she's female and likes to be surrounded by pretty things.
She wanted bows, but I held firm and let her pick out the flowers instead. I didn't tell you this, but last Monday when I groomed her, she begged for bows, and I felt like a meanie telling her no. I owed her something, and the flowers were perfect. Well, almost perfect. I promised to repair the hole in the porch ceiling. Please don't hate me for that. I asked my dad what to do about it, and he gave me a hard time. Then he told me to blame it on Molly. Ha! I told you he answers me. But he did remind me that we once fixed our back porch roof together, so I can definitely fix yours with help from YouTube. I couldn't find your ladder. Do you have one? I thought you had a shed, but nope. Where do you keep your lawnmower and your other tools? I had to stand on one of your chairs and it got a little dirty, but I cleaned it. I couldn't find a hammer either, but Molly and I found a rock out back and I used that, hence the hole. I hope the flowers make you smile enough to make up for the bad stuff. XO, Sunshine.
I imagined her reading it the same way she talks, barely taking a breath between excited sentences. I have no idea how she made a hole in the ceiling, but the idea of her hunting for a hammer and dragging a chair out front to bang a hook with a rock has me grinning like a fool. Sunshine to a fucking flower indeed. I take a pull on my beer as Molly runs inside and glance at the chair as I close the door. The stain makes sense now. Why am I still smiling? That's why I need to take a break tonight. I'm getting too damn close. I stalk into the kitchen to feed Molly and tug the handle on the junk drawer. There are so many cards stuffed in it, it won't open. I stick my hand in and hold them down, forcing the drawer open. I cannot fit another card in that drawer. Gathering the pile of cards, I head into the living room looking for a place to put them. The green blanket Destiny cuddled beneath the other night is on the floor beside the couch, with one of Molly's elk antlers on top of it. I could have sworn I put the blanket away in the guest room. I open a drawer in the end table by the couch and drop the cards in. Out of sight, out of mind. I fold the blanket and put it away in the guest bedroom. The fewer reminders of Destiny tonight, the less I'll miss her. As I head back down the hall, I realize I should thank her for the flowers. No, I can thank her tomorrow. I'm taking a break tonight. That makes me feel like an ungrateful dick. I'll just keep it short so I can get on with my night. Fletch. Hey, Sunshine. Thanks for the beautiful flowers. Molly definitely seems happier now that we have them. Destiny.
I'm so glad. Sorry about the chair and the hole in the porch ceiling.
Destiny. Grimacing emoji. Fletch. No worries. I'll get the custom cover dry cleaned, and I know a guy who can fix the porch.
Destiny. You know a guy? Is that your cute way of saying you can fix the porch?
Fletch. I don't do cute. That's your department.
Destiny. You do cute all the time. You just don't know it. Like right now. I bet you're frowning and your eyebrows are pinched together.
Destiny. Angry face emoji. How can she possibly know? Destiny. Heart emoji. Times three. The damn hearts force my scowl into a smile. I imagine the tease in her eyes, the dimple in her cheek, and that sassy smile so different from the sensual one I've gotten used to seeing at night. Fuck. Now I want to see her again. I need to end the conversation before I change my mind.
Fletch.
You're right about the look, not the cuteness. Thanks again, Sunshine. Have a good night.
Destiny.
Smiling face with hearts emoji. The emotion I'm trying to squash have pushed to the surface. I look at the phone, anticipating her usual trail of texts popping up. When they don't, I tell myself that's a good thing. Tonight is going to be great. Just me and Molly and some much-needed peace and quiet. I set my phone on the table and head upstairs to change. As I toss my work clothes into the hamper, I see my shirts Destiny slept in the night she stayed over. I'm tempted to pull one out and see if it smells like her. What the ever-loving hell is wrong with me? I pull on shorts and a t-shirt, grab the hamper, and traipse downstairs to the laundry room. After I dump the clothes into the washer, I'm reaching for a detergent pod when Molly walks past the door dragging that damn green blanket from the guest room. I've owned that blanket for years, and she's never taken a liking to it. Destiny uses it a few times, and suddenly it becomes Molly's favorite. What the hell kind of torture is this? I turn on the washer and head back to the living room. Molly is lying on the couch with the blanket beneath her front paws, gnawing on her antler. I grab the remote and plop down beside her. She eyes me warily. A lot of help you are, looking at me like that. She paws at my arm as I turn on the television. I feel guilty for acting like she did something wrong. It's not Molly's fault I'm cutting her off from Destiny and Clementine cold turkey for a night. I pet her head. Sorry, Moll. This is going to be great, just like old times. We'll watch an episode of The Office. I flip to the show, but as it comes on, I grit out a curse and turn off the television. Molly looks at me curiously. Destiny would be upset if we jumped ahead without her. Molly's ears perk up at Destiny's name. I push to my feet and grab the book I picked up the other night when Destiny and I had dinner at the cafe and then hit the bookstore. I sit back down and kick my feet up on the coffee table, settling in to read. 5 minutes later, I've read the same paragraph a dozen times, and I'm itching to see Destiny. Molly paws at me, looking at me expectantly. We can handle one night without her. Molly tilts her head to the side like she understands every word I'm saying and barks. Yeah, no shit, I miss her too, but we can't afford to get attached. I set the book down and love her up. My phone rings. There's our sunshine. I knew she couldn't stay away. As I jump to my feet, I bang my shin on the coffee table. Fuck! Molly leaps off the couch as I grab my shin, hopping on one foot toward the dining room table. Ow! Shit! Damn it! The phone rings again, and I hurry over and snag it. Hey, I say, before the phone even gets to my ear. Expecting a call? Marshall. No. What's going on? What are you up to tonight? Hanging with Molly? Reading? Why? What's going on with you? There's a concert at the park. I thought you'd want to know your girl's here having a picnic. I bite back the urge to ask who she's with and try to ignore the uncomfortable feeling gripping me. I told you she's not my girl. She can go to a concert if she wants to. In that case, maybe I'll stick around and get to know her better. Have fun with Molly. The line goes dead. Fuck that. Let's go, Molly. We're going for a walk. Chapter 19. Fletch. Molly and I weave around people sitting on blankets and in chairs near the gazebo at the park, where a band is playing country music. The temperature has dropped since this afternoon, and a damp, earthy scent thickens the air. Children are running around playing. Teenagers are gathered in secret sharing pods. Couples are dancing and chatting, and I'm scanning the grounds for Destiny. Molly pulls me toward the right, and I spot Destiny sitting with Marshall, her megawatt smile lighting up the night. There's a big wicker picnic basket beside her, and she's leaning back on her palms, wearing a bright yellow long-sleeve shirt and shorts. Her hair spills over her shoulders, and her legs are crossed at the ankles, giving me a view of her purple and yellow checkered socks and the dirty sneakers that I've learned are her favorites. She looks so relaxed with Marshall. My gut churns. We make a beeline for them, and Marshall's laughter hits my ears like a bomb. They look up just as Molly traipses over the blanket and practically leaps into Destiny's lap.
Molly!
Destiny loves her up. Marshall flashes a shit-eating grin as he pushes to his feet. Destiny, this has been a blast. Thanks for letting me crash your evening, but I've got to take off.
You can crash my evening anytime.
She pops to her feet and hugs him.
I hope we see each other again soon.
Marshall looks at me over her shoulder as he says, I'm sure we will. I grip Molly's leash tighter. He gives Molly a pet and walks over to me. How's it going, Fletch? All right. Looks like you're having a good night. He claps a hand on my shoulder and leans in close, speaking low. Glad you came to your senses. As he walks away, Destiny throws her arms around me.
I'm so glad you're here.
I'm intensely aware of how good and right she feels in my arms, but I'm even more aware of how wrong it felt trying to stay away from her. Me too.
I would have invited you to join me, but I thought you were working on your lesson plans.
I was, but Molly got restless, so we came out for a walk. I hate the bitter taste of that little white lie, but I know where we stand.
Then she saw her favorite person, and here we are. I look down at Molly. Right, girl? Molly pushes her snout into Destiny's hand.
Aw, did you miss me, Moll?
She ruffles Molly's fur.
Can you stay for a while, or do you have to get back?
I got enough done. We can stick around.
Yay! We have to celebrate!
She takes my hand and pulls me down to the blanket with her. Molly inserts herself between us.
Arjun texted a little while ago. He approved the budget, which means we have a proposal date. A week from Saturday, Paris is coming to Sunnyvale.
That's fantastic. I pull her into a kiss, and it's the most natural thing I've done all night.
I'm so glad you convinced me to use spreadsheets to keep track of everything, because it's all in order. No hunting through my notebooks. Now it's just a matter of firming up dates, placing orders, and putting my personal touch on all of it. Fletch, get the yes is going to get the yes!
I'm so damn proud of you. You've worked your ass off for this. We definitely need to celebrate. She beams.
Thank you.
Did you tell your folks yet? She shakes her head.
Marshall was here.
The caveman in me beats his chest, knowing she trusts me more than Marshall. Well, don't keep them waiting. I look up at the clouds. Listen up, Amores. Your girl's got big news.
I love how you get me.
She tilts her face up to the sky, taking a deep breath.
Mama, Daddy, that client I told you about just gave me the go-ahead to create what I hope is the perfect proposal. I'm as excited as I was when I learned to twirl a baton and as nervous as I was the second it flew from my fingers right before it crashed Mama's lamp to the floor and shattered it to smithereens. Say a prayer for me. I love you.
I picture her as an adorable little sprite with wild blonde hair, trying her damnedest to learn to twirl a baton. It kills me that the people who raised her to be the free-spirited whirlwind that she is aren't here to celebrate with her. You're going to do great.
I hope so. I want this so much, and now that I'm setting up meetings with other clients, it would be awful if Arjun's proposal went badly.
It won't. You've got this, Sunshine, and I'm happy to help with whatever you need. But if you think you're going to get out of telling me about your baton-twirling days, you've got another thing coming. She grins, swaying to the country music.
I'll tell you about my foray into baton-twirling, but I'm starving. Have you eaten yet?
No, but I'm fine.
Don't be silly. You can share my dinner.
You just said you were starving.
Yes, but you know me. I brought plenty of food.
She grabs the wicker basket, chatting as she starts emptying it, laying out napkins, a plastic plate, fork and cup, and a thermos, all of which pique Molly's interest.
My baton twirling days were a dangerous time. I wasn't very good at it, and it didn't last long.
I move Molly to my other side. Dangerous for more of your mother's lamps?
Among other things.
She unwraps a sandwich and a brownie and sets them on the plate while I take the lid off a container of cut-up fruit and fill the cup with iced tea from the thermos.
Like my neighbor Ronnie Clampton's nose?
You hit him with the baton? I set the cup in front of her, and she hands me half of the sandwich, like we've been picnicking together forever. Sounds like Sunshine's got a dark side.
The fool tried to kiss me after he'd asked Ruby to be his girlfriend the week before.
She takes a bite of her sandwich.
You don't mess with a girl's best friend and come out unscathed. I lost baton privileges after that.
No kidding. I chuckle and take a bite of the sandwich. So, why baton twirling? Did you know you were going to need a weapon, or did you have dreams of performing in Rosebell's Thanksgiving Day parade?
We didn't need batons to be in our parade. Rosebell is only about as big as a fist. Ruby and I rode on the floats nearly every year.
I bet you were adorable in a cute, frilly dress with flowers in your hair, wielding a baton at rascally kids who tried to climb onto the float. She laughs.
I didn't learn to twirl so I'd have a weapon. I did it because I was in fifth grade. Taylor Wrigley moved into town, and I wanted to be just like her. She was 14, and I thought she was the most beautiful girl I'd ever seen.
As we finish our sandwiches and start in on the fruit, passing the fork back and forth, she gets a faraway look in her eyes, like she's envisioning Taylor.
She had pitch black hair and bright blue eyes like yours. She could sing pretty as a songbird and dance like she was born with rhythm and grace running through her veins, and she twirled the baton like nobody's business. I was completely smitten with her, and so was every other kid in town. When Taylor walked down the street, everyone noticed.
She takes a drink, then hands me the cup. She's got nothing on you, Sunshine. You're hard to miss. I take a sip and give it back to her.
Bless your heart, but I know I'm no beauty queen, and that's okay. Kids used to make fun of me because my mouth was too big for my face, and my mama told me they were jealous because I had my own unique look, and they were just run-of-the-mill cute.
She reaches for the brownie, and I put my hand over hers, drawing her attention. You have a gorgeous mouth, and you know I'm a bit obsessed with it. Your mother was right. There are beautiful people everywhere, but I've never seen another woman shine as bright as you. She gets a dreamy look in her eyes, and her shoulders drop a little.
You've got to be careful saying nice stuff like that, Rai-Rai.
Her use of Rai-Rai makes me smile. Why?
Because we've got a good thing going, and I don't need to get all confused about our friendship.
We're sleeping together, but I can't tell you how pretty you are. That makes no sense, Sunshine. Besides, you're the one who said you always say what you feel. I wondered if she'd end this arrangement if she knew how much I'm holding back.
I know what I said.
In any case, I think you're safe. I don't recall seeing Grumpy Gus on your checklist. She studies me, dark brows knitting.
Know what I think?
She sits up taller and picks up the brownie, giving me half. I lift my chin in question and take a bite.
I think you're about the best guy friend a girl can have.
Right back at you, Sunshine. Especially now that I know you can bake brownies that rival the ladyfingers at La Love Cafe. She nibbles on the corner of the brownie.
My checklist just got a little longer.
Why is that?
Because I have to add calls me a cute nickname and says really sweet things.
I can't believe saying sweet things isn't already on your list. Shouldn't that be a given? She shrugs and pops another bite of her brownie into her mouth.
I never thought to put it on there.
Maybe you should let me take a look at that checklist to make sure you're not shortchanging yourself.
You are not setting your discerning eyes on my list again. That list came straight from my heart, and it's private. How did we get to talking about this anyway?
You were telling me about baton twirling and a girl named Taylor.
That's right. She was beautiful, but it was her confidence that I wanted to emulate. All the boys noticed her, and she didn't pay them any mind, like she didn't even notice them looking at her.
She gazes at a couple dancing in the grass and eats the last bite of her brownie, swaying to the music again.
She seemed mysterious and grown up. When I was young, I found that intriguing. But now I can't imagine being that oblivious to people looking at me. You do the same thing. I've told you that.
Yes, I remember. She called me out on it that first day in the cafe. My guess is that Taylor probably wasn't oblivious to the attention.
Then why act like it? That's hardly living.
She looks at me, and she's got chocolate on the edge of her lower lip.
That's like going to the beach and not putting your toes in the water.
I cup her cheek, and her eyes take on a dough-like quality, enticingly warm and intoxicatingly sweet. I brush my thumb over her cheek, wanting to kiss the chocolate off. But I know I won't want to stop there, and I'm not ready for this part of our night to end. It's called self-preservation. 14 is an awkward age. I wipe the chocolate from her lip with my thumb and suck it off as I sit back. Her eyes flame, and I fight the urge to haul her into a kiss. She inhales a ragged breath, her cheeks flushing.
Uh-huh.
She's killing me. She might have been uncomfortable with the attention, or not into boys, or maybe she'd been hurt by a boy and she chose to keep her distance.
You think so?
She gulps down the rest of the iced tea.
It would be awful if she'd been hurt that badly at that age. What if one of those boys was supposed to be her best guy friend, her Ryan Fletcher? She might never have this.
Her dismay is so genuine, I wish I could say, look, there she is. She found her best guy friend. Now you can be happy again. I don't know, Sunshine. She seems to think about that for a beat.
I hate the idea of her being hurt and letting that hurt guide her life. I'd like to go on believing she was just that confident.
I wonder if she's still talking about Taylor or if she's talking about me. Then you go on believing it as long as you never stop sticking your toes in the ocean of life and letting your light shine on everything around you.
There you go, doling out sweetness again.
She puts her hand on my leg and lowers her voice.
In case you haven't noticed, I'm all about grabbing life by the horns and wrangling it to my liking.
I've noticed, Sunshine. I can't resist sliding my hand to the nape of her neck, drawing her closer. It's one of the many things I find irresistible about you that makes you special. I lean in and kiss her, our tongues dancing to our own passionate beat. Her fingers curl into my leg as I take the kiss deeper. I feel Molly moving toward the food, and Destiny startles, breaking the kiss. Molly has knocked over the container of fruit, spilling juice on Destiny's leg, and now my beast is looking at us like, there's nothing to see here, go back to what you were doing. We share a laugh and clean up the mess. The band starts playing Fast Car, and Destiny sings along with them, bobbing her head to the beat. It starts drizzling, and people begin collecting their things. Destiny holds out her palm and looks up at the sky.
We should go.
She turns to me with a look in her eyes that's full of too many emotions to name, but I know she's thinking of her mother. I haven't danced since I was in college, but I push to my feet and hold out my hand. Come on, Sunshine.
I need to grab the blanket.
She turns to pick it up. We're not leaving. We're dancing.
Dancing?
Her eyes tear up so fast it takes me by surprise.
I didn't know you could dance.
I have a feeling she doesn't want to talk about dancing in the rain with her mother, so I pretend those tears aren't making my chest constrict and go for levity. Try not to look too surprised. I draw her into my arms, keeping hold of Molly's leash. According to Bridget's son, Louis, my moves rival Barney the dinosaur. She smiles, blinking her eyes dry.
I'll be the envy of every woman here.
What makes you think you're not already? I spin her around, and since the band doesn't stop with the drizzling rain, we continue dancing. Destiny sings off-key, and I have two left feet, but I'm learning that this woman who wants a guy who moves like Jagger has two left feet, too. A group of teens laughs at us as they walk by. I wink at Destiny, and we bring out our worst dance moves, laughing just as hard as they do. When a slow song comes on, I gather her in my arms again, feeling more alive than I have in years. She gazes up at me with a sweet expression.
Thank you for dancing with me. I was missing my family tonight, something awful, remembering when we used to go to concerts like this back home. When Marshall showed up, I kept hoping you would too, and when Arjun texted, I was dying to give you the good news.
I feel bad for staying away. I'm sorry I didn't come sooner.
It's okay. I'm just glad you decided to take a walk.
Guilt sneaks up on me. I have a confession to make about that. Molly and I weren't just out for a walk. Marshall called and told me you were here. That's why we came. Her lips quirk up.
Because of Marshall? Why? Were you worried you might lose your date for the wedding?
She doesn't know how close to right she is, but we don't make sense in the long run, so I simply say something like that.
Well, don't worry about that. What kind of friend would I be if I ditched our date for another guy? Besides, I miss my family so much, I'm looking forward to meeting yours.
My gut twists at the longing in her voice. I want so badly to ease that pain, and there's a solution staring me in the face. You miss your family, and I miss you when we're not together. I'm having dinner with mine next Friday for my father's birthday. Why don't you come with me? My mother's been asking to meet you, and it would be a good way for you to get to know them before the chaos of the wedding.
It's his birthday? We used to have the funnest birthdays. My parents believed your birthday was one of the most important days of the year, because it's not just the birthday boy or girl who has something to celebrate. It's the whole family's special day.
What did you do to celebrate?
For my birthday, they'd wake me up just after midnight, and we'd celebrate with balloons and a mile-high cake, and then I'd get to choose what we did for the entire day. And on their birthdays, my mom would wake me up to decorate for my dad after he went to sleep, and he'd do the same for hers. And no matter whose birthday it was, we'd all stay up until midnight, but I usually fell asleep before then.
That sounds really special. You must miss it.
I do, more than you can imagine. But one day I'll carry on that tradition with my own family.
You're going to make a great mother. That's another thing that sets us apart. No marriage means no kids for me. A good reminder to try to keep things in perspective. When is your birthday?
August 7th. When's yours?
November 12th.
A Scorpio. That makes sense.
Why?
Because they're as smart as they are loyal and as shrewd as they are stoic. They like to keep people guessing, and they don't rely on anyone else's approval. That's you, my friend, while I'm a Leo.
Which means?
You tell me,
she challenges. I don't even have to think about my response. You're confident, positive, passionate, definitely determined, and you have a penchant for colorful socks. She laughs.
I do.
Why socks?
I don't know. They make me happy.
How can happiness be so simple in the eyes of a woman who has lost so much? If I let you wear your colorful socks, will you come to dinner with my family?
I would love to, but are you sure I won't be imposing?
I'm positive. She takes a deep breath.
Okay, but you have to promise me that if I like them as much as I like you, then when we stage our breakup, we'll do it in a way that doesn't make them hate me. Can we do that? Because it would make me sad to become friends at dinner and then feel like I can never see them again because they think poorly of me.
My gut knots up, and that guilt slithers in again. I'd never let anyone think poorly of you.
Then I'd love to meet your family.
It starts raining harder, and I hold her tighter, unwilling to break our connection just yet. The band stops playing, and the din of people shouting and rushing from the park rings out around us. Destiny looks up at me through rain-soaked lashes.
It's raining pretty hard. Should we leave?
I spin her again, then pull her in close, earning a smile that gives me the answer before I even ask. Do you want to leave?
Not even a little.
Chapter 20. Destiny. We dance until the rain comes down in sheets and thunder booms around us, and then we run all the way back to our neighborhood, laughing and joking about how Molly must think we're nuts. Fletch's house is closer than mine, but when I run up the walk, he snags my hand, tugging me back to him. Our hair is plastered to our heads, our clothes are drenched, and the rain is relentless. What's wrong?
You said Clementine's afraid of thunder. We'll stay at your place.
I can't believe he remembered. My heart takes a perilous leap. It's a good thing he's holding my hand as we run toward my house because my head is in the clouds and my heart is thundering louder than the noises in the sky. Left on my own, I'm not sure my legs would know what to do. Thankfully, running through the driving rain helps me get my head on straight, and by the time we reach my house, I've wrapped all those beautiful, troublesome feelings in a bow and tucked them away. I'm getting good at that. We hurry inside, soaked to the bone, and Molly immediately shakes water all over us. I laugh, and Fletch apologizes profusely. I take his handsome face between my hands and go up on my toes to say, "Stop apologizing for her. I know she's a dog, and I'm well aware of what dogs do when they're wet." I kiss the center of his scruffy chin. "Now stop worrying and get those wet sneakers off while I get towels." As I sink to my heels, he sweeps an arm around me, hauling me back to him, and kisses me until my temperature rises so high I'm sure we'll go up in smoke. I come away breathless and a little foggy-headed. I must look dazed because he kisses my forehead and says, "Towels. Towels. Right." After we dry Molly as best we can, she zooms around the house and bolts upstairs. Fletch futilely hollers after her. She's just looking for Clemmy.
I know, but she's still wet, and she's probably standing on your bed right now.
Then I'll wash my bedding. I wrap my arms around myself, rubbing the goosebumps on my arms.
You're shivering.
He embraces me.
How about a hot shower?
I knew you could use that sharp mind of yours for something better than worrying about my furniture.
Has anyone ever told you you're a smartass?
No, but I've heard you say you like my ass a few times.
I like your ass just as much as I like that smart mouth of yours.
He grabs my ass with both hands and lifts me up. As my legs circle his waist, he claims my mouth and carries me up to my bedroom like he carries 130 pounds around every day. I mentally add "strong enough to sweep me off my feet" to my checklist. He breaks the kiss as we walk past my bed, where Molly and Clementine are, in fact, cuddled together, and I feel him tense up. I touch his jaw, bringing his attention back to me, and whisper, "Shower." And then I kiss him as he carries me into the bathroom. We close the bathroom door and let the shower warm up as we strip off our wet clothes. My body hums with desire as his gaze blazes down the length of me.
"My God, you're beautiful. And don't you dare try to tell me I can't say that."
He kisses me hard, as if to underscore his authority in the matter. G.I. Joe has nothing on this Ken doll. He takes the kiss deeper as we step into the shower. Warm water rains down on us, seeping between our lips like secrets. Our bodies slip and slide as we grope and devour, his erection temptingly hard against my belly. I ache for him in ways I never knew I could. It thunders and roars inside me like a creature wanting to be set free, driving me to reach between us and stroke his cock. He growls against my lips, and the sinful sound sends white-hot need shuddering through me. Steam billows around us, and I feed that creature, kissing Fletch's chest, running my fingers over his nipple as I stroke his length with my other hand.
"Destiny."
His voice is low and gravelly, dripping with lust, as he tangles his hands in my hair and guides my mouth to his nipple. I lick and tease, earning salacious moans that fuel my cravings for him. I graze my teeth over his sensitive flesh, and he grits out, "Fuck." His hands tighten in my hair, sending stings of pain and pleasure slicing through me. I sear a path down his body, greedily kissing and touching every inch of him, until I'm on my knees with his heavy cock in my hand, and he's looking down at me with fire in his eyes. Water rains down his lean, muscular frame. I hold his gaze as I drag my tongue around and over the broad head of his cock. His jaw clenches, his eyes hungry as a wolf's. I continue teasing along his length and around the crown, loving the way his cock jerks in my hand with every slick of my tongue. When I guide it into my mouth, I do it slowly, sucking just the head, then drawing it out and dragging my tongue around and over it again. I take him a little deeper, sucking and stroking, reading his body, watching his muscles flex, the tension building as I withdraw again. Each time I swallow more of him, he curses. His entire body cords tight, and he cups my cheek with one hand. I know he wants to take control, but he lets me set the pace. I've never enjoyed doing this before, but with Fletch, I'm desperate for it, and I'm getting off on the control. When I finally take him to the back of my throat, his head falls forward with a hiss. I work him slowly at first, my hand chasing my lips, sliding tight and hot along his shaft.
"You look so fucking beautiful with my cock in your mouth."
Chasing that praise like it's candy, increasing my speed.
"That's it,"
he growls, midnight blue eyes trained on me.
"Tight and fast. So good. Cradle my balls."
I do as he asks, and I'm shocked at how much it turns me on. I'm wet and swollen, chasing his orgasm and incredibly building my own.
"Fuck, that feels good."
He tightens his grip in my hair, holding me still, and brushes his thumb over the seam where my lips meet his cock.
"Christ, sunshine. Your mouth is exquisite."
His words twine around my heart, and I devour that praise. My desire heightens with every impossibly slow and deliciously deep pump of his hips.
"Like that, baby,"
he grits out.
"Touch yourself while I fuck your mouth."
I'm so into him, into this and us. There's no room for embarrassment. I reach between my legs, and as my fingers slide over my sensitive nerves, I moan around his cock.
"That's it, baby. Jesus, you're sexy."
He continues thrusting at the same pace, and I match his rhythm with my fingers between my legs, bringing a whole new level of excitement. He pumps faster, and I quicken my efforts between my legs. The lust in his eyes tells me I'm taking us both higher.
"Is that okay? Not too fast?"
I nod eagerly, hoping to convey how much I want this. He's letting me in, and I'm learning what he likes. I do not want to stop. He puts his hand over my hand that's on his balls and squeezes.
"Yeah, fuck, that's good."
He brushes his fingers around my lips.
I want to come in your mouth, Sunshine. If you don't want me to, it's okay. But I need to know so I can pull out.
I give his balls a tug, and the wickedness flaming in his eyes is inescapable. He traces the seam of my lips around his cock again.
That's my girl.
My girl. I know he's not my Mr. Right, but at that moment, for the life of me, I can't remember why. Then he takes control, burying both hands in my hair, hips thrusting perfectly fast and dangerously deep, obliterating my ability to think at all.
Keep touching yourself. Think of my mouth on you,
he grits out, breathing harder. Lord, this man could make me come just by saying things like that. I moan around his cock and he pumps faster.
So fucking good.
His thighs flex and he makes a guttural sound that sends my insides into a flurry as he surrenders to his powerful release, hips thrusting, growls emanating with every hot, salty jet. I stay with him, hanging on to the edge of my own orgasm, but I don't chase it. I don't want to miss a second of this fine man losing himself in me. When his body goes slack, he withdraws from my mouth with a sharp inhalation and tugs me to my feet. His eyes brim with emotions.
You wreck me, beautiful.
He crashes his mouth to mine, thrusting his hand between my legs. Two fingers push inside me, and his thumb zeroes in on my clit, sending me up on my toes as he works his magic, and I follow him into ecstasy. And then I'm floating, and the world starts to come back into focus. Warm water slips between us, and he lowers his mouth to my shoulder, biting and kissing, his fingers finding their pace again. I greedily soak in every tantalizing touch and lower my mouth to his nipple. He moans, his fingers quickening, applying more pressure on just the right spot, stealing my ability to focus again. I rest my forehead against his chest, panting, another orgasm just out of reach. He tugs my head back and crushes his mouth to mine again. My back meets the cold, wet tile, and he kisses his way down my body, palming my breasts, teasing the nipples with his mouth and hands, sending prickling heat racing through me. He nips, licks, and kisses, hitting each of my pleasure points he so patiently and diligently discovered, lingering on them, cherishing them like treasures, until I'm a moaning, writhing mess of desire, begging for more. He sinks to his knees, sliding his fingers through my swollen sex, visually devouring me as he spreads my trembling legs, holding me open. He flicks that sensitive spot with his tongue, sending shivers of heat racing through me. Oh God. His mouth is next, licking, sucking, devouring. He knows just how to get me there. I squirm and moan, scintillating sensations engulfing me as his fingers dip inside, expertly finding that spot that makes my legs weak. I grab his shoulders, my insides swelling, pulsing, reaching for the orgasm that's barreling toward me like a runaway train. Fletch, oh, Fletch. The impact sends me crashing into a world of lights and sounds and us. He stays with me until I come down from the peak, and then he rises to his feet, hard again. The feel of his erection against me and the lust pooling in his eyes make me want so much more. I've never trusted any man enough to have sex without a condom, but I trust Fletch. I need you inside me. I hear the desperation in my own voice, and I don't care. I'm protected. The second the words leave my lips, he's lifting me up and lowering me onto his cock. We both moan, and he wraps his strong arms around me.
Don't move, baby. You feel so fucking good. I want to live inside you.
Welcome home is on the tip of my tongue, but I swallow it down, telling myself it's the lust talking.
You're so tight and hot and fucking perfect. It's never been like this.
I pluck those dangerous words out of the air and tuck them away with the other sweet things I've been stockpiling, and cover his mouth with mine, trying to outrun the emotions that feel like they're drilling into my soul. Chapter 21, Destiny. I think you should go with a maxi dress. It says confident and classy without being over the top. Ruby points to a mannequin wearing a green maxi dress. That's a great color. It's Wednesday evening, and we're at a clothing boutique, shopping for a dress for me to wear to dinner with Fletch's family, and then she and I are going out for Thai food. We've both been so busy, it's been a while since we've gone out, and I've missed spending one-on-one time with her. I feel like I've worked a zillion hours over the last 6 days, but it's been worth it. The pieces of Arjun's proposal are coming together nicely, and I've signed 2 more clients. Do you think I can pull that one off? My hips are so narrow. Longer dresses tend to make me look like a boy with tiny boobs. Shorter dresses give the illusion of curvy hips, and they always make my boobs look better. Stop being ridiculous. You can pull off anything. You've got a killer body under that t-shirt and shorts. I wouldn't say killer, but Fletch appreciates it. Thinking of him brings the familiar flare of something warm and fluttery to my chest. And if you don't believe me, she says as we head for the rack with the maxi dresses, just ask your fuck buddy. Can you not call him that? I grab a dress off the rack and hold it up to get a better look. Whoa, testy. Are you sure this dinner is a good idea? I feel her keen eyes assessing me and focus on the dress, because I've been asking myself that same question all week. But I want to go, so I brush her off. Of course. Why wouldn't it be? Because meeting his family is a big deal. And there it is, the elephant in the room. But the mouse is in the same room, speaking loud enough for us both to hear her. Not in our case. The reason he asked me to go to the wedding with him was to get them off his back, remember? Meeting them now will help sell that. Des, you buy him socks. Have I bought him a few pairs? Yes, but it's not like I'm buying his underwear. He has bad taste in socks. He needed a little color. And the love notes? They're not love notes, they're friendship notes. She rolls her eyes. You hung planters at his house, and you're still walking his dog. I love Molly. Is there something wrong with that? No, but you really like Fletch. So, I really like you too. Is that a problem? I know it's a stupid response, but I don't want to face what she's trying to make me own up to. You don't end up mattress dancing with me every night? It's not like we plan it. It just happens. The way we're drawn together is one of the things I love most about us. There's no pressure, no schedule to adhere to. We see each other because we want to, and we're on each other's minds, not out of obligation. But I don't share that with Ruby because saying it out loud will make it too big, even to me. And it's not every night. I'm out with you tonight and I won't see him afterward. I hang up the dress and meet her worried gaze. You're the one who told me to go for it, remember? Why are you even bringing it up? Because I love you. And when you said you'd protect your heart, I wanted to believe you could. But you're falling for him, Destiny. And I'm afraid you're going to get hurt. I've never seen you like this. Emotions clog my throat, but I force my words out. Like what? Do you see something bad that I don't? Her expression warms. No, that's the problem. You seem truly happy, not just like your normal peppy self. You're different. I can't explain it, but I can feel it, and I'm pretty sure you can too. My eyes tear up, and I turn away from the other customers in the boutique. Ruby moves with me. I'm not trying to upset you. I know you're worried about me, but I'm okay. I know what this is, Rube, and I know how it's going to end. Do you? Because I feel like you've been fooling yourself. Maybe I was, but I'm not anymore. I am falling for him, and I know he's not my Mr. Right. But I also know how quickly life can be snatched out from under us. And for the first time ever, ever, Rubes, I feel cherished and special and safe in a man's arms. And I like that. I deserve that. You're still looking at me like I'm some dreamy-eyed girl, but I'm not. Hear me when I say I know he doesn't love me, and he probably never will. He's not capable of the type of love I need. He doesn't believe in it the way I do. But he cares about me, Rube. I can feel it. He cares about me a hell of a lot, and I'll take it for now. Of course he cares about you. You're an amazing, smart, warm, fun person. And you don't just lead with your heart. You pour it into everything you do. That's just it. What I've realized this past month is that I have to be me. And if that means following my heart down a dead-end street with him, then that's what I'm going to do. In that case, I'll be waiting for you at the end of that street. She takes out her phone and starts thumbing out a text. Who are you texting? John. She doesn't look up. We need to buy a big, fast truck. Why? An evil grin curves her lips. Because after I run Fletch over, I'll need to haul your ass out of there to heal your broken heart so I'm not burying two bodies. No wonder I love you. But I haven't died from a broken heart yet, and mine's been put through the ringer twice. I'm not taking any chances. She pockets her phone and drapes an arm over my shoulder. If you're determined to do this, then let's find you a dress that he'll never forget. I don't care how good he is to you. When this sex fest is over, I want him to suffer. When did you get